The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Oh Jesus, we thank Vratraniski Fladioste Fefeteni Apoftalia. For lo, I have cleansed your pipes, and I have set you as if one with a trumpet, and I have put you up to cry. I have put you up to speak it forth. I have put you up to bring it forth. Yea, and the pipe will be clear. The sound will be clear. It is one sound and it will be clear. It is one sound and it will be clear. I have made it loud. I have made your voice loud. I have made it penetrating. Yea, I have made it penetrating to break beyond, to break the walls, to break the walls, and to cross the boundaries of men, and to cross the limitations in the hearts, and to cross the on your lips, grace on your lips, grace on your lips. I'll put grace on your lips. I'll put grace. Yeah, as the sound of the trumpet, it will cross the limitations of the heart. It will cross the boundaries of the heart into the inner recesses. It will touch to the depth, because that is where wickedness has been done, and that is where I want to put salvation. I empower you to reach there. I empower you to go there. I put grace upon your lips.
Amen. Can we just lift up our hands and just appreciate the Lord this afternoon as we give Him all the glory? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are gathered in your presence. We lift up your name. We exalt your holy name. We thank you because your name is like an ointment poured forth. That's why the virgins love you. We give you thanks, Jesus. Ole beregana, shonde berebene kofrabata. Oh, Jesus, your name is sweet. Sweeter than the honeycomb. Your name is sweet, Jesus. Your name is sincere. We give you thanks, your ointment. Oh, of your holy oil drops upon us in this place. The ambience of your presence rubs upon us. Oh, we honor you, Jesus. We worship you. High priest of salvation, we give you thanks. The first witness of eternal life, we give you thanks. The first man in glory, we give you thanks. The speaker of good things to come, we give you thanks. The unveiler of the testimony of our God, we give you thanks. The preacher of the testament of God, we give you thanks. The captain of our salvation, we give you glory. Oh, you that conquered death, spoiled death, and took the keys of death and Hades. We give you thanks. Alpha, Omega, we give you thanks. Destroyer of death, conqueror of sin, we give you thanks. We give you glory, Jesus, for you have brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Jesus. Oh, hey, Yala Barana. We thank you because you are heralding a new day. You are heralding a new season over the earth. You are bringing forth a new season. The season where salvation will be sighted by all flesh. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. For that which is eating is being brought forth. We give you thanks. For that which looks unattainable by man is being given to man as a gift. We give you thanks, Jesus. For you have made this possible. You have made this possible. You have made this possible. You have done it. You have finished it. You have brought help to man. You are the help to man. Because of you, we can come to God. Because of you, we can come to salvation. Because of you, we can come to glory. Man can partake of divine nature. Man can partake of the holiness of God. We give you thanks, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we receive your mercy. For things concerning salvation are inscripted in testament of mercy. Without mercy, we can't talk about salvation. Salvation is higher than man. Salvation is so high. But Lord, you have chosen to give us salvation. You have chosen to cause us to know salvation. And so Lord, we rely on mercy tonight. Let mercy be made available. Let mercy open the way. Let mercy cause grace to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel the Lord's presence very strong right now in our midst. I just sense in my spirit that there are particular things God is going to do in this life campaign 2020. I sense particular things. I believe that we have been praying as a house, but I perceive in my spirit the things that are going to come are not just for this house, it's for the body of Christ. God, through this meeting, is going to show the church mercy. Things will be spoken that will reconfigure the atmosphere of the body. I sense in my spirit that our powers are also available to do this. So this meeting is a powerful meeting. There are spirits of power that are going to move these parts into the body. They are going to restructure the climate of the body of Christ by the things that are being said. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see the Lord making this house a strong high tower in the spirit for the proclamation of the word of eternal life to the ends of the earth. I see the authority of Christ getting stronger. I see the power of Christ getting stronger. Oh, it will go stronger and stronger and stronger until it captures the hearts of men and the territories of men. We give you thanks. Lord, we receive your mercy this afternoon. We give you glory, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at John 3:16. You know, for a very long time, I think one of the things that God helped us to do, while we were much younger, we had hunger, so we read the Bible. I read the Bible, you know, just reading. But there are places in the Bible that when I get to, I know that this thing will clear. There are many areas, but you know, you just use it like that. John 3:16 used to be one, you know. As I grew older, I began to understand that, okay, if this eternal life thing, do we have it already? What is it? You know, if we have it, then how come some people still turn? Can you have God and then turn? You know, so you have conflict somewhere. And you know, when you have conflict of thoughts, it takes doctrine to open it. So I've been like, until I heard one reverend's message, and when he was teaching it, I shouted, I said, yes! This is what I've been saying. That eternal life is a promise, is a hope. So it means that the new birth is the preparation for man to come and receive the blessing of God. So that means that a newborn baby, which is what you call a believer, has not handled eternal life. He can't handle eternal life. And it's good to think about this at a level where you feel that, oh, we have it. We already have it. I already have eternal life. I had one major preacher in the body. I respect our fathers in the body, teaching it. You know, sir, you have eternal life right now in you. You have it. You have it. People were shouting, whoa! I asked myself, I say, I wish this thing was this way. Oh, glory! You got it in you right now. Now, there's something you have in you. It was given as an help for you to be able to come up to the receiving of eternal life. So let's look at John 3:16. Then we'll look at Titus. For God so loved the world. Ever say God so loved the world? Now there's something about God. The blessing of eternal life is tied to covenant. What did I say? What did I say? So the eternal life, or what I believe is publishing salvation, will not be given outside covenants. They hold it. So without those covenants taught or opened, the blessings will not come to man. That's why when you want to see this thing clearly, when you see the dealing of God with the nation of Israel, then you understand that this thing has been laid in the Bible. In the law and the prophets, the epistles only came to archive things that have been recorded. Hallelujah. Now when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, everybody say, God so loved the world. There is something that propels the love of God. It is called mercy. God is rich in mercy. That is why God can will or choose to give eternal life to man. So we need to understand that there is a covenant that holds eternal life. It is the covenant of mercy. Without mercy being unveiled, eternal life can never be found. Eternal life is a high thought. Salvation is a high thought. Everybody say salvation. We are looking at it from eternal life, salvation. When salvation is coming into the domain of man, it comes as grace. You know, the power to cause man to attain to the thoughts of God. You know, God's thoughts are unattainable, unseeable. In fact, when it comes to you, if it peradventure comes to you, you will not even appreciate it. What makes you consider or appreciate or look for the thoughts of God is when grace appears. So from the area of man, if you look at it from man's perspective, I look at it, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, the Bible calls it the throne of grace. That's Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace that we may what? Obtain mercy. So what we obtain is mercy. Once you obtain mercy, mercy opens you to find grace in the time of need. So there is something that is obtained there. It's called mercy. I like that word, obtained. There is something that must be obtained. Hallelujah. Then if you look at the whole covenant, when Moses was building the tabernacle, what we know as the ark, the tabernacle of Moses, and divided into three compartments. They deliberately called the holiest of all, where the ark is seated. You know, you had two cherubims overshadowing what they called the mercy seat. I asked myself, why is it called the mercy seat? Now, one of the reasons is that it is mercy that God sits on, or God's seat is mercy. That mercy seat defines the operation of God in an hidden dimension. That dimension, called the Most Holy, is a realm that is barricaded from natural height. The kind of man that enters the veil is a man that has what? Obtained mercy. Let's go back to that, John. For God so loved the world. So I said that that operation of God's love is a product of mercy. Let's look at Ephesians 2 quickly. Can we say amen? 2 from verse 1. Okay, it says, and you, as he what? Quickened. I like that word, quickened. In recent times, I've been doing what I call a topical study. When I take a word like salvation, look for every scripture in the Testament, in the Bible, above, and then study it. I found out that if you do like that, our understanding of salvation redefines, even from even reading scriptures. You will find out that the more you grow in learning, the more you get more specific. Details comes. That means you can't just call everything the same thing. You can't just bundle things together. You are detailed in your descriptions. And that's why when you grow up, there are more fields. So you find out that, okay, someone I like is a doctor. You're a medical student. And then you, when you finish your 6 years, they call you a doctor. But that person is just a general practitioner. They call them medical practitioners. If you really want to go higher, if you want to have more glory, come on, talk to me. If you want natural, even natural glory to be conferred upon you, you will not stop at the level of being just a doctor. Even in the hospital, they call them MO. In the hospital, if you see a consultant coming, they call glory. Because that person is a specialist in the area. He knows something. What they taught them in medical school, generally, he knows specifically. They have been trained, and yes, they come into, that is what, when we say epignosis, that's what it means. When we are coming into Christ, that is what the knowledge of Christ. When we are coming into the knowledge of Christ, you see, the knowledge of Christ brings us into that realm where we are zeroing in on specifics. We are not scattered anymore. We are not general anymore. You can't call new births that you have obtained salvation. So to be initiated into salvation is different from obtaining it. It's just like to say that to be admitted into university is the same thing as graduating. Is it the same thing? It's not. Matriculation number is different from what? It's different from graduation. You can have matric number and never graduate. Am I talking to students? Have you seen people that have matric number? They are still in the campus 15 years. That is how it is when we don't progress in salvation learning. So, I want you to understand. So, the new birth is an initiation into salvation. It is not the obtaining of salvation. For you to obtain salvation, there are covenants that must be kept. Or there are covenants that are involved. I use the word covenants as plural. There are covenants in the covenant. So when we say the new covenant, it is a whole lump of reality that are broken down into pieces. So the quickening of your spirit, or what we call salvation, initiation to salvation, is the beginning of journey or walking to bring man to inherit salvation. I hope you're not angry. So all of us that are here, none of us here has obtained salvation. None of us here. None of us has obtained salvation. Salvation is a hope. It's a promise for man to come and what? Receive. So we don't have it, but we are being raised. What I mean raised is to train, is to build. I like that what Pastor Tosi was talking about, building. You were coming from the area of the temple. And I like the way you were talking about it, because the Bible is a complete book. I'm getting to fear it every day. So have you noticed that when it comes to temple building, patterns are clear. Measurements. It's got, anytime you see temple in the Bible, you see measurements. In the book of Ezekiel, particularly because Ezekiel was a prophet of what? Of glory. He was citing that which was in the most holy. So you see that before the glory came, the temple was measured well. In other words, it means that for God to come in into a temple, it must be built according to specifications. That gives us a view about how we are going to inherit salvation. So there is a kind of man that will inherit salvation. If that man is not raised, God is not coming in there. There is a kind of man that calls for God. You see, God is hidden in his heights. And that is what Jesus found. Our Lord Jesus was the first man to enter into that realm, making it is now possible for you and I to enter therein. That's what Hebrews 6 was saying, that he's a foreigner. He entered in within the veil. He parted the limitations and entered into a realm so that man can follow him. Can we say amen? Now, so I said that to say that the expression of God that governs his giving us of salvation is mercy. So let's quickly read Ephesians. Now let's start from verse 1. Let's rush through. And you are the quickened. So say you are the quickened. Come on, say you are the quickened. So what I know everybody has here is that you are quickened. If you're a Christian, I can guarantee you are born again child of God. I know you are quickened. Okay? But then it says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is another thing. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom we also had what? Our conversation. Everybody say conversation. So what, when we are dealing with salvation, we are dealing with conversations. Let me say that again. I want everybody to get this. Amen. Amen. Let me say it. When we are dealing with salvation, what are we dealing with? Conversations. So when your spirit was quickened, you did not have conversation. A conversation is a progressive revelation of a life. You don't receive a conversation instantly. A conversation is a unveiling. It comes line upon line. Precept upon precept. A little here and a little there. So, as it is now, let me say it. The body of Christ has said, oh, we have few conversers of this salvation. Remember, you said something. He said that this salvation is not the work of preachers. He said it's not preachers that are supposed to publish it. He said it's the saints or the people of God. So, publishing of salvation is the calling of the people of God. It is a profess. Last year we talked about professing. It is professing God's life. It is the appearing of God's life in flesh. You see, the life of God was only demonstrated within them. So, but when it appears in flesh, it means that man has not received God's conversation. Can we say amen? So, we had our conversation before that was after the order of sin and death. Now, we are being quickened in our spirits to now begin to receive a new order of conversation. So, salvation is a conversation. Can we say amen? Amen. It's not an event. It is a conversation. It is a profession. It is a calling. Like, you know, a calling. So it says, in time past, we're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, verse 4 is what I'm interested in. From verse 4, we'll jump back to John 3. It says, but God. But God, who is rich in what? Who is rich in mercy for his great love? So, mercy is love. Great love wherein he loved us. Hallelujah. Now, the powers that keep eternal life are powers of mercy. Now, it is this reality that makes God wanting to give us his life. Now, however, like I said, that in God giving us salvation, there are things that must be what? Unveiled to us. Now, let's now go back to John 3:16. So, for God so loved the world. Everybody knew this. If you went to Sunday school, you know this. Amen. Even people that are not quickened in their spirit, they know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his what? Only begotten son. Can we say gave? Now, what did God give? If you look at John chapter 1 verse 18. Can we go back there? In God giving us eternal life, he gave us his son. And that son is an entity of grace. So, grace was given for man to be able to come to receive eternal life. Now, but what gave grace? If you look at it from the perspective of God, you know, oftentimes, when you look at it from perspective of man, grace connects to mercy. Am I talking? But when you look at perspective of God, mercy is what connected to grace. It is mercy that began. Mercy birthed grace. Now look at it. It says, no man has seen God at any time. When we say no man has seen God, no man has seen salvation at any time. Salvation was a leading thought, such that in the whole covenant, what salvation was called was glory. That concept of salvation was archived in the word glory. So when Moses was telling God, show me your glory, what Moses was asking God was beyond his testament. He was asking God for salvation. Because you cannot undo glory outside salvation. There is no salvation, there's no glory outside the waters of salvation. So you understand that this salvation thought is an ancient thought. In the heart of God is a high thought. So it says, no man has seen God at any time. So see God means that the thought of salvation, the thought of having eternal life, the thought of partaking of God's nature was not in the domain of man. No man has seen God, but the only begotten Son of God, which is what? In the bosom of the Father, as he declared him. Now the Bible says that he was, take me to verse 14, when it says that, and the word became flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. And the word was what? Made flesh. And what did we do? And we what? And he dwelt amongst us. And we what? Beheld his glory. I like that word. In us. And we beheld his glory. You see, the glory that we beheld is what Luke chapter 3 verse 5 calls salvation. So, what this scripture was saying is that the word dwelt in a vessel and it became, it fleshed out as glory. It says, we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father. I like that word. Full of what? Grace and truth. Can we say amen? Amen. So what the Father gave because of mercy was that he gave us what? Grace for man to be able to partake of a blessing that he keeps. Can we say amen? Amen? Now let's go back. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. God giving his only begotten son is God giving grace. Hallelujah. Amen. That he gave his only begotten son grace, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now, what we have interpreted this before was that should not perish but have everlasting life. So I have everlasting life. No. Look at it. There is a comma there. Thank you. Reverend says should. So it means that what God gave stops perishing. It means that man before was perishing. That's why it's clear. Man is perishing more. You see that we are degenerating more. So man was perishing. God now gave his son to do one thing first, to stop perishing. You see, that comma is a curriculum, is a work. You see, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. This is a syllabus. is number one. What Pastor Tosin calls righteousness. This is the first part of the walk, to stop man from perishing. So there is a life the Son will give you to stop you from perishing, because a perishing man cannot inherit salvation. What did I say? You don't understand? You know, Paul says that corruption cannot inherit incorruption. So flesh cannot inherit salvation. Neither can flesh inherit glory. What glory is salvation. So for them to give you salvation, they must first stop a walk. Now, the reason why Christ came is to stop first perishing. Then he has another thing to give. Now, there is a life he first gives to stop perishing. That is the life that we receive that new birth in our spirits. Listen to this. What did I say we received at new birth in our spirits? Everybody say life. Say they can say life. Life, sir, is Zoe. Eternal life is anionos Zoe. There are two different things. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I connected with everybody? So Jesus came to give you life, Zoe. Then, after you have fulfilled the course of Zoe, then he can now give you the next course. The next course is anionos Zoe. That is what? Eternal life. Incorruptible life. Unchangeable life. Life that cannot turn. Now, they cannot give you that immediately. They don't use that life first to stop perishing. If you want to stop something from perishing, they get, I don't know how God, you know, God, I don't know how God brought forth these inventions. I call it inventions of righteousness. They invented a life. That life is called Christ. The essence of that life is to stop what? Perishing. After he stops that, you see, that life that is in your spirit. Have you said Christ? What happened to you and new birth is that what? They quickened you and your spirit became Christ. However, the power that quickened your spirit is not a power that should remain in your spirit. What did I say? The power that what? Quickened your spirit is not a power that should what? Remain in your spirit. What happened in your spirit instantaneously, your soul must learn as a what? Curriculum. Of course, it's very clear that if we look at it in a biblical order, when the Bible says, the day you eat of this tree, you shall die, we can ask ourselves, what died? Because you see, in defining man, I said, you can't preach the gospel without knowing what man is. It's not who man is. What is man? Because man has contents. You must be able to dissect it to understand salvation plan. So, man is a spirit, soul, and body. And when man partook of the tree, what died that day was his what? Spirit man died. However, he was still walking. So, his spirit died instantly, but it took close to 1,000 years for his soul to die. So, his soul was gradually dying. Because let me tell you why. I mean, to stop perishing of the soul was difficult, because there are allocations, even in the old covenant, that could stop perishing of soul. God had to invent a lower faith testament to capture souls from totally perishing. That's why people like Abraham, you see, they had a record. Even though their spirit was dead, God was working in their soul to preserve them so that they don't totally perish. So that they could still witness things that will be useful for the unveiling of salvation. Am I talking? So, his spirit died. His soul was dying until eventually his body fell. His body fell much later. So, it's now clear that the day your spirit was quickened is just the beginning of a journey. The same power that quickened your spirit, that power must be learned. You must know that power. You must learn that power. And you must live that power. It is that power that will capture perishing. This is unbelievable, sir. That your spirit can be quickened and your soul is still perishing. Can you understand that? This death does not respect anointing. That is why when you define church by anointing, you don't even know we have not begun. The most powerful man of God is the most anointed. The most anointed might be the one that death is walking faster in. And sin. They are not respecters of anointings. It takes a building to resist them. It takes an inward fortitude of the power and formation of Christ to resist formations of death. So the same power that quickened your spirit is now captured as a doctrine in a conversation of a man called Christ. That power that quickened your spirit in one day and you got born again. How many of you love that memorable day? The day you gave your life to... I forgot the date. I used to know it before. The day I gave my life to Christ. You know, we say things like, how old are you, sir, in the Lord? And then, you know, we make a boast of that. Reverend Busui. You know, sir, I know you have been old. Reverend Busui has been in the Lord since. Mama, you have been in the Lord since. You know what I say? Pastor Mika, how old are you in the Lord? You see someone else say, I am 50 years old in the Lord. Referring to the day that his spirit believed. However, your soul is 7,000 years old. How many of you know that? Your soul, there are only two men on the earth, Christ and Adam. Forget this 7 billion thing. Why you know man by nature. You don't know man by skin. Even people like Martin Luther, they define that naturally. They say that a man is not known by the color of his skin, but the content of his character. You don't know man by how many billions that you have on the head. Chinese man, Japanese man, African man, they have the same soul. It's the same death that is perishing them. Amen. Man has the same problem. Forget it. Leave Nigeria and go to America. Your problem has not been solved. I'm not saying don't go if God has led you. These are things I preach that make people angry. They say you don't encourage people to make progress. I'm not against your progress. A believer should live by leading. If I'm going to live Ondo, I should live by leading. What is wrong with Ondo? There's nothing wrong in anywhere. As long as your soul is prospering, you shouldn't even want to leave places until God permits you to. No, but that's just a digression. Now, this is the point. Can we say amen? Amen? So even in the knowledge of natural man, they know that man is not known by the color of his skin, but by the content of his what? His character. Meaning that man is nature. What makes up a man is the nature that he carries on the inside. So that's why when your spirit was quickened, the next thing that they want to do to you is to begin to teach you their nature. The essence of the milk of the word, what we call the milk, is preparatory course. To come and learn the gospel of nature. The gospel of nature is, nature? The gospel of life. You know, we have life, we have eternal life. The gospel of life is also called the gospel of righteousness. It's the coming to learn, it's the learning of a syllabus of a power that was hidden in a man called Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go back to that John 3:16. So the essence of Christ is to stop perishing. Now Christ stops perishing by teaching you the content of his life. So if Christ is not taught, a soul will still perish. Let me tell you, the activity of perishing has increased in these last days. That's why Paul prophesied to Timothy. Paul was talking from a prophetic spirit. He says, in last days, perilous times shall come. So if you are pastoring a last day church and you are not preaching Christ, sir, you are doing nothing. The only solution to the nature of men in this season is to Christ is the only solution, antidote. You know, we are disturbed about coronavirus. Meanwhile, there's a terrible virus. LAJU Corona law. That has been ravishing man. And it takes a power to arrest it. So when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, to come to salvation, they must first arrest another power causing perishing. So Christ has come to first give us life. That life is a learning, is a power that even though it's in our spirits, we have not known it. We believe that power, but we must not know that power. So the same power that is wrought in Christ must be your life. That power, that means that a believer must be powerful. When they say you're a powerful believer, it means you are living by the energy and strength of Christ. What is propelling you is the content in Christ. Christ's power. Christ's formation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. So they will stop perishing. Then you cannot have eternal life. So they must give you life first. Take me to John 10:10. Then they will give you life eternal. Can we say life first? Say it again. Say life first. Then life eternal. Come on, let's say it again. Say life first. Then what? Life eternal. So, sirs, my simple message to you today, I still have time. Please learn life. Learn life, oh. Because if you are not learning life, which is learning Christ, like our pastor said, you cannot obtain the covenant of mercy. You see, this mercy covenant, in fact, a man that is not Christ is not looking for mercy. If you are not, have not yet become Christ in your conversation, I'm not talking about in your spirit. If you have not become Christ in your conversation, you can't be looking for mercy. You cannot be looking for mercy unto eternal life. Because perishing guys don't look for, they don't look for anything. What they're looking for are things that are going to make their life glorious on earth. A natural man that is even a preacher of the gospel wants to do ministry here on the earth. Everything that we do is to build a name for ourselves here. But a godly man's hope is not here. A godly man that is built in the formation of Christ is looking for eternal life. He has life. He's looking for the next allocation. He has righteousness. He's looking for salvation. He has received the covenant of grace. He's looking for the covenant of mercy. Now look at this. Amen. Can we say amen? Now, the thief cometh not, but to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. This is very powerful. This is also there is a first day, second day, and the third day agenda of the enemy. And I want to tell you that we are in that third day. So what Satan is doing now to man is not stealing. They are not stealing again. They have done that before. And I can tell you they are not killing again. You know, killing is small for them now. Sir, you know what they are doing? They are destroying men. Destroying soul. You know, once a soul has been sealed. You know, Paul talked about the last days that men's conscience will be sealed. Seared, rather. Once they're seared with hot iron, that soul God can do nothing about that case anymore. So what you say to destroy a soul is to bring to hasten the soul entering into the most holy of sin. Let me explain this. There is consecration unto God. Salvation is a third dimensional agenda. When we say salvation, it is a third dimensional agenda. That means that, you know, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, three. God is always walking in threes. So salvation is the fullness of the initiating or the quickening of your spirit. The end of that quickening of the spirit is that they bring you fully into salvation. Okay? It's a tripartite operation. Pastor Busu, Reverend Busu told us, he says, your whole spirit, your soul and your body be what? Preserved. That's salvation for you. However, sin also has a reversal. It's tripartite. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. That's one. And then, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's two. Nor sit at the seat of what? The ungodly. So the guy is walking, standing, and sitting. Meanwhile, how many of you don't understand that entrance into salvation is for a soul to sit? That is why it's called mercy seat. Because a soul that has entered into salvation is a soul that has seated in God. To sit is to be established. Now, to destroy a soul is for a soul to sit in death. It's to sit, you know, that soul has sat. So that's what they are doing. Let's go back to that scripture. So the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to bring two things to mind. Hallelujah. Life! I have come that they may have life. And that they may have it more what? Abundantly. I notice that in scripture. So anytime abundance is used, mercy is attached to it. You know, abundance. Yes. So life and abundant life. Can we all say that? Come on, say it again. So then let's now go to Titus chapter 1. Let me just run the course off. So the essence of the of Christ is to raise us to become a building that can inherit salvation. I can't inherit salvation until Christ has raised me up. So that life is a formation. So when we say life, that life is a formation. It's like a work that they must install in you completely. It's a complete work. You, if you have Christ, cannot come into salvation. It's possible to be half Christ. To be half Christ means that they started the work of building Christ, but they did not finish. May that not be our portion. God has started this work. He will finish it in us. People can start building of Christ and abandon it. Like they abandoned the temple of what? Zerubbabel for 16 years. He says, why do you leave the house of the Lord in ruins and then you are building your own paneled houses? So they were building other, things, but they left their inward formation. So you can stop building the house of Christ. Another name for the house of Christ is called the holy temple in the Lord. If Christ is not fully built, I cannot obtain salvation with glory. Salvation, sir, comes with glory. Oh, eternal salvation brings alongside glory. Titus chapter 1, quickly, then we'll go to Titus 2. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Paul, an apostle of God, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness. This is very powerful. Now, Paul has, take me back. Paul had the commissioning. So that's what you are calling the apostolic trust of the New Testament, is to bring Christ, is to preach Christ. Preaching of Christ is to make man come to receive the life that can make them obtain the promise of God. What really God promised us is eternal life. Come on, what did I say God promised us? But for you to receive the promise of God, a life must be preached to you. That is why apostles were working on the churches. They were working to preach the life of eternal life. There is a life that obtains eternal life. There is a life that brings you to God. So that life must be taught. So Paul says, I am what? An apostle of Jesus today. Everybody is an apostle. I am disturbed. Now, why am I disturbed? I'm not against you. If you carry the title and the work goes with you, it's the enemies. When Satan goes after something, it's time to spoil a work. So today when you say apostle, there are some people that comes to your mind. Wherever, there is nothing apostolic about them. Apostles are preachers. When an apostle of Jesus Christ is working, he's bringing you a work that can make you receive the promise of God. Because you cannot receive a promise of God until the working, a work has been done in you. So apostles are preachers of a life. That life is also called grace. It is a life that we must know and walk in. So Paul says, I am what? An apostle of Jesus Christ. According to the faith. So the faith of the Son
is the path that unveils that life into man. So a soul that does not obey this faith will not receive that life. So when you hate faith, you hate what? The content of Christ. The content of Christ is inscripted by faith powers. If I'm going to do Christ, inherit Christ, and receive Christ, I must love faith. I must do faith. I must be justified. I must be justified. When the Bible says justified, it's not just what happened to your spirit. Justification is making you righteous. You must be made a just man. When you say Pastor Maker is a just man, he has no guide. You know the testimony they gave about Job? Have you considered my servant Job? How he feared God, a righteous man. He feared God and eschewed evil. A just man is a man that his content is what? Righteous. The walking that he's bringing out, if you look at it, is judgment, is understanding. What fuels his life is righteousness. You cannot see that which is not born out of the will of God in the content of the life of a righteous man. So when you look at righteous men in the old covenant, they were men of faith. There were men that followed the faith template, meaning that the way righteousness is being delivered to a man is through faith. No wonder the Bible says that the righteousness of God is being revealed from what? Faith to faith. Can we say amen? So look at it. The essence of the life that Jesus is bringing to us is to make us godly. We must be godly. What does it mean to be godly? To have the formation of Christ in you. When you are godly, then you can appropriate and hope. So the essence of Christ is to raise a godly man. And the essence of that is what? For you to be able to inherit the promise of God. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, has promised before the world began. But in due times is what? Manifested is what? Through preaching. Which is committed to me. So the essence of apostleship of the New Testament is to what? Preach. A commandment that is in Christ. Is to preach a nature, a life that is in Christ. That life is the life that makes you come to eternal life. Oh, can we say glory? Glory! Let's go to Titus chapter 2. It's a scripture we know from verse 11. That's what you call sound doctrine, by the way. Sound doctrine is not just theologically balanced doctrine. Talking Hebrew, Greek. Sound doctrine is Christ. In fact, take me first to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I need to say this. Because you can be a theologian. In fact, most theologians don't preach Christ. But they can finish you with scripture. You know, sir, you cannot scriptures and not know Christ. But let me say it this way. Amen. Don't mind me. This is me. Oh, it's me that invented it. Amen. Say me. Come on, say me. You cannot scriptures and not know Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures are separated to reveal Christ. So I know people that know scriptures. Ah! However, there is no content of Christ being weaved out of scriptures. So there's separation. When you say holy, thank you. Pastor Thompson says separation from waters. When you are separating waters, the revelation of Christ is entering. You cannot see things that are written concerning Christ in the scriptures. It's good to teach biblical truths. We do that, you know. As a pastor, you teach the basics from time to time. But I'm doing that with an end in mind. As you are coming in, we let you know that this is where you are going. That is what we didn't do before. Before we told them it's about this, it's about that. But now, we'll tell them that when you are learning the basics, you are learning the basics for this. So the hope of eternal life is clear from day one. Yeah. At least informationally. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know you for all your eternal life tire for this place. Come on, do I have a witness here? That's the big cause here. Amen. Reverend Buzu cannot move away from that cause. If you want to understand how eternal life looks, look at him, the way he walks. I'm very sure he's very close to it. So if you move this man away from eternal life, oh man, it's not possible.
He can't move him. Mama say he's confirming it. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by what? The commandment of God. So God commanded men, apostles, to preach Christ. It's a commandment, sir. They have to preach Christ for men to be able to obtain eternal life. So, sir, you are being commanded to do this. It is a commandment. It is commandment that make men not shift. They don't bow to the opinions of society. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 100 years. He was building an ark when there was no rain. So, you are preaching eternal life. People say, Gillan Fef, eternal life. Eternal life, Gillan, eternal life. I'm sure people have said that. Gillan Fef, eternal life. Say, eternal life. Gillan Fef, journey. Meanwhile, eternal life is the food. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus, who is our hope. This verse 1 is loaded. When we say Christ is our hope, it means Christ is our life. Remember Colossians chapter 3. And Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So when they say life, they are talking about righteousness. The hope of Christ is the content of Christ. And that content, Pastor Parks, is righteousness. So, sir, if anything you get from Christ is not righteousness, oh, is it Bangkokon? If what you obtain from Christ is righteousness, because a Gentile can obtain gifts of Christ. There's nothing that gifts of Christ can benefit Gentiles. Yeah. Maybe only tongues. I'm not sure. But how all the other ones can, a Gentile can benefit from it. But for tongues, you have to be quickened at least to receive it. For every other one, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, are operations that a Gentile can receive. They can receive it and not yet even come to Christ. I've seen in the evangelist school said, when somebody got healed and they said, do you want to receive Jesus? I said, no. Of course, that healing is supposed to, healing of your body, is to bring you to a place where you have to consider the life in the man. But I can choose the body and not take the content. We do it all the time. So, when we say Christ is our hope, can we say Christ our hope? It is the content of life in the Son. That is righteousness. That is His life. And that must be our conversation. It must be our life. Now look at verse 2. Unto Timothy, our own son, in faith, grace, mercy, and peace. You see these three things. It's loaded. From God, our Father, and our what? And Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Doctrines are powerful. Doctrines push what? Conversations. What did I say? So the doctrine of Christ cannot come. The content of Christ is vehicled by the doctrine of Christ. So when you attack doctrine, you attack conversation. When you attack doctrine, you attack nature. So Paul was jealous over that assembly because assemblies must be Christ. How many of you know that the hope of eternal life is a promise not individually alone, corporately? Like now, Eternal Life Embassy as a church, they want this church to inherit eternal life. All of us. A whole church can sit on the throne. So, that is why boundaries of truth must be put around churches for them to stay on the course. Why? He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than what? Godly edifying. So, sound doctrine is that which causes what? Godliness. Can we say godliness? Who is a godly man? A godly man is a Christed man. Somebody that has received the full formation of Christ in his soul. So he's a godly man. And there's something that the godly man is waiting for. He's always looking for something. A godly man is always looking for mercy. Because he knows that for him to receive the gift of God, mercy must come to him. You can be godly, does not mean that automatically they will give you eternal life. There is a covenant that must be what? Cut with a godly man. That will bring life eternal as an inheritance for man.
So look at it. That's why I understand. The essence of the preaching, Paul in particular, was doing one work in the church, just to raise godly men. So normally I say that Paul wants to take flesh to Christ. John wants to take Christ to God. John is talking to guys that are Christ. His goal is to move them into salvation. That's why you see John will stay confidently on eternal life. You know, today we talk kingdom without eternal life. There is no kingdom without life eternal. So you can see John. What John was teaching was entrance into kingdom. When I mean entrance into kingdom, you know, there's entrance into Christ, then there's entrance into God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. Can we say amen? So, like I said, so godly edifying, which is in faith. So you can see that when righteousness is being learned, it is by faith. It is faith that is being demonstrated. So it is faith that is the part of what? Obtaining the learning of Christ. They tie learning of Christ to faith. So if I'm going to be righteous, I must obey faith. I must do faith. The faith that is of Him. Not just believing faith. It's faith that governs His knowledge. Now look at verse 3. Now this is where I'm going. Can we say amen? Now the end of the commandment. Let me say the commandment. This commandment here is the commandment of Christ, or the commandment of grace, which Christ came to bring. Remember that the Bible says the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory. The Bible says He was full of grace and truth. So the commandment of Christ is the commandment of grace. What grace wants to do is to set you apart. Grace wants to bring you to a place where you are in a state that Paul calls what? Charity. So when grace has fully worked in us, we are going to be here. It says, now the end of the commandments that is in Christ, and this is necessary for salvation to be entered into, receiving the end of your faith, even what? The salvation of your soul. So they must first what? Do a work of righteousness in you that must end in charity. Now the end of the commandment is what? Charity. Everybody say charity. Now what should this produce in you? Out of a pure heart. I'm going somewhere. And of what? A good conscience and faith unfeigned. Take me to Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. For blessed are the what? Pure in heart. To see God is to see salvation. Blessed! Blessed! Are the what? Pure in heart. So this is the work of grace. Grace, which are grace. Grace is supposed to raise pure hearts. Unfeigned hearts. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Isaiah 40. Now to see God is to see salvation. And to see salvation is to obtain eternal glory. Sir, when you obtain salvation, it comes. You know, the package of salvation is glory. And we're in the days where God is going to glorify flesh, glorify man. Publishing salvation. This is the agenda of the last time. It was Robin that said that it's not just last days, it's last time. In the last days. The last days began when Jesus ascended, was resurrected. But in the last days, there is the last time. That's what Pastor Tosi were teaching as salvation that will be revealed at the last time. Comfort you. Take me to verse 3 quickly. I'll just run up with this scripture. For verse 3 of Isaiah 40. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make what? Straight in the desert. An highway of who? Our God. This is the highway of salvation. This is what should be happening in churches. Preaching of righteousness. Now look at it. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be, and hill shall be made low. And the crooked places shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall do what? Now what will not see it? And all flesh shall what? See it together. For what? The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this is what prophet spoke. The prophet spoke salvation. Take me to Luke chapter 3 verse 5. Then we will land, finally, we'll land in 1 Peter chapter 1. Can we say amen? Luke chapter 3. So I want to show you. Isaiah 40 calls it the glory of the Lord. But look at what Luke calls it. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be what? Made straight. And the rough way shall be what? Made smooth. Of course, you know that these things are not physical. Prophets speak natural words, and inside them are spiritual content. So all these things are realities in your soul. Can you say amen? Amen. Your soul has a valley, it has a mountain, it has rough. Oh. Every soul is mountainous and validious. So they, you know, so they have to deal with all that. So that's what they are talking about. That's the work of Christ. Amen. Christ is the Elijah of God. He's the one that aroused God. Paths the way for God to appear in flesh. God to show forth in man. Now look at what it. Ha, yeah. And all flesh shall see what? One more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start from verse 7. We'll stop here. That the trial of your faith, that's why you can't talk about salvation outside suffering. I don't know. I used to say that I don't know how to teach suffering well. I think maybe older ministers can teach it. Because my wife said anytime I teach suffering, people are always afraid. I say, okay, maybe I need more grace to teach it. Maybe Pastor Tayo Lanejo teaches it better. You understand? But me? Pastor has one grace. He just teach. He's killing you gradually. Mommy, I don't know how to do it. I just say it. Bam. You see people's face changing. The next Thursday, you see them in church. Amen. Now, look at it. That the trial of your faith being much precious than of gold that perisheth might be tried with fire. Might found in what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the agenda of God for the last time is glory, which is also salvation. Look at it. Now, verse 8. Whom having not seen, hallelujah, ye love. This is what churches must become. I love that your first exhortation. This is what the early church had. That's why if you kill them, they won't stop preaching. Is their life near? So I don't even know how to call Boko Haram and Fulani Herdsmen. Is it bad or good? Because you see, sometimes we need trouble to wake us up. There was a time I was leading prayers in our local church, one of the prayers for Nigeria. All of a sudden, a prophetic spirit took over me. I said, don't curse Boko Haram. Stop cursing them. They are the tools to wake up the church. I said, they are our apostles. Some of them, the servants of God are there. Those men, a Fulani herdsman can walk from Mali to Nigeria to kill one soul. I said, there's something these people has inside. You understand? God wants to use it. I just saw that thing there. So, it's not causing God. They are tools in the hand of God. The Nigerian church must wake up from vanity. We must wake up from the dust. All the things we celebrate today are things that are passing away. No contents that are eternal. And when you're talking eternal things, they look at you. What do you have? If your faith doesn't have result, you have nothing. The result of faith is a godly man. That's the result of faith. Whom have you not seen, you love him. Whom don't now, you see him not. Look at it. Yet you believe it, you rejoice. With what? Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. These are things in the salvation dimension. It says, receiving the end of your faith, which is Christ. You see, when Christ has finished his work, the next thing that is open, the curtain of salvation is now opened. Even the salvation of your soul. Now, let's look at verse 10. Of which salvation? The prophets. So, if Old Testament prophets spoke of salvation, what should New Testament prophets be doing? Please balance the equation yourself. If Old Testament prophets were prophesying salvation, what should New Testament prophets be doing? So you don't know a New Testament prophet except he's opening salvation. Thank God. I said when I was teaching, I've been doing a series since January in our church on glory. I said, see, there is nothing. Old Testament prophets, like we're saying, they had everything. They were raising the dead. They were healing the sick. Moses sustained a whole nation supernaturally for 40 years. Tell me what gift of the Spirit can open water. Look at the guy raining down food for 40 years. Supernatural water source following them. What kind of power is that? So, and that testament, Paul says that he had no glory. So, what should be the boast of the ministry of the New Testament if not salvation with eternal glory? Of which salvation the prophets what? Inquired and what? Searched. They were even looking for it. Ah! Our prophet Iman Kareo. They did not just prophesy, they were looking for it. The Bible says Abraham looked for a city. Abraham knew that the promise was not Isaac. He discovered that there was a city God was building. He looked for it. Moses saw God. God said, I will send an angel of my presence. God said, Eshe. We want you to go with us. After God says, yeah, la, 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 la. After God says, Moses was a man I speak face to face to. Moses asked God. He said, God, show me your face. Meaning that the face you were talking me to, not the original one. It's not the original face. Show me your real face. Moses was looking for salvation. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that she would come to you? So, sir, when salvation was to first appear in the domain of man, it appears as what? Grace. For the grace of God that what? Bringeth salvation. You see, when you are saying grace is bringing things into the domain of man that bringeth salvation as appeared to man. Teaching. So when you see teaching of grace, please, I don't want you to, in closing, please, let's not play down what is happening. Because when there is teaching of righteousness, something is about showing. Salvation is not far. Stand to your feet.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.